The Mostly Modern Festival is a new summer music festival that flips the traditional programming model by devoting most of its attention to the music of our time, which will present 8 concerts featuring an array of guest artists and ensembles, an orchestra largely made up of Mostly Modern Festival Institute participants, music by esteemed resident composers, and more than 30 brand new works and world premiere performances by more than 30 participating composers. Founded by the husband and wife team of composer Robert Patterson and his wife Victoria, the inaugural festival's concerts take place June 8th through the 17th. If you check your calendar, tonight is the 8th. So it begins today.
It does.
And all of it happens at the Arthur Zankel Music Center on the campus of Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs. Robert Patterson, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
So how did this festival come to be?
So a few years ago, we were looking around at other festivals in the country, and there are a lot of obviously amazing festivals like Aspen and Tanglewood and so on all over. But we couldn't find one that was focusing almost entirely on contemporary music by living composers, and in New York State, here where we live. So we just decided one day, you know what, we want to get all these great composers together and musicians that love playing music by living composers, and that's what happened, and then it was formed.
So in the forming of it, the goal, I mean, I mentioned this in the introduction, but the goal is mostly modern. So tell
right.
us what you're looking for and how you fill out the repertoire.
Okay, so obviously this is a play on mostly Mozart, you know, and there's a lot of festivals that have that name, especially, a couple popular ones here in the U.S. So what we do is most of the music is by living composers, so composers that are actually still alive. So that would be, in this summer we have, like you said, over 30, plus we have some esteemed composers like Robert Beezer from New York City, who teaches at Juilliard, and David Deltredici, who's I think also being played by the Albany Symphony here right this week. And we were looking for works that are brand new. And we mix those with works by, classic works by people like Stravinsky and Bartok and Vaughan Williams, actually, who are doing one of his pieces. And what we do is we flip the model on its head. So instead of doing mostly old music by dead composers and a few new works, which is what a lot of festivals do, we do mostly new works with a few older pieces. So that's basically the model.
In that model,
mm-hmm.
and the work, so tell us about the Institute. So you start mm-hmm. there, right?
Right. So what it is it's in two parts. It's a festival, and the festival is where what we consider to be all the concerts. So anybody can go to those. It's open to the public. Like you said, it goes from the 8th to the 17th. But there's an Institute, and the Institute participants, which are both performers and composers, play in the orchestra. Actually, a lot of the composers also play in the orchestra, which is wonderful because they play instruments. And then we, the Institute is really more of kind of a learning environment where they take, they have lessons with some of the mentor teachers and they take lessons with the older composers and so on. But then basically the two are commingled. And so the players and the composers are also part of the festival.
So and there's a lot of round robin then. As
right.
Far
exactly.
As, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody gets. Is there freedom for people to go where they want to go, if you will?
You mean
let's say you're in the Institute and you say, well, composing and performing and,
right.
and those are all possibilities.
Exactly. Well, okay, so everybody applies who are participants. So we get people from all over the world. We have composers and performers actually from the United States, Canada, Mexico, Australia, Europe, so from all over. Most of them are from the U.S. It's our very first season, so we're hoping to get some more from Europe and China and Asia later. But basically, people apply, and if the composers get in, because, it's a rigorous process, not everybody got in, then the composers get to write a brand new piece and get to have that performed by one of the ensembles. And the ensembles include American Modern Ensemble, which is my group from New York City, Imani Wins, mm-hmm. Euclid String Quartet, and the Atlantic Brass Quintet. And also, two winning composers get to be played by the resident orchestra, which is called the American Modern Orchestra. So it's a brand new orchestra that we formed.
The 8 concerts that will be taking place at the Zankel on the campus of Skidmore mm-hmm. College, how do those differ?
So each concert, every evening that we have a concert, is by a different ensemble. For example, tonight it's the very first concert with American Modern Ensemble. And on the 9th, it's the Euclid String Quartet, and so on. So there's different concerts every evening, and we have a schedule on our website. And all the concerts are mostly chamber, but then there's a few orchestra concerts. And then there's one big concert we're really excited about on June 16th, which includes Albany Pro Musica. And so they'll be singing with the orchestra on that evening. And that particular concert will be conducted by Kent Tridle from New York City.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And then you, as I mentioned, you go through June 17th, mm-hmm. and then the concerts will all feature these various ensembles.
Exactly. So each evening is dedicated to a particular ensemble.
So the one thing that I was, maybe this is too insider.
No, you can get as inside as you want.
I'm just curious about
it's okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I noticed that the Institute runs like a day before and a day after the festival runs.
Right. Yeah.
So how much time is there for preparation and
so that's a good question. So all the performers, everybody's working way before the festival starts.
Okay.
So we accepted the composers back in the winter. They start writing their pieces. All the performers get the music, you know, well ahead of the festival. So they're all practicing, but so by the time they get to the festival, in theory, most of the music is already learned, or at least in the process of being learned. And so the Institute itself, which is part of the whole ball of stuff, starts a few days earlier. So they have to have a few days together to rehearse before the actual concerts start. Yeah.
And going through, and because it's new work, mm-hmm. the kinks have been worked out prior to coming to Saratoga.
Well, most of them. I mean, there are some that you know, as you would expect with brand new pieces. There, even today as we speak, there's an orchestra rehearsal with Chris Rowntree going on in the main hall there, where he's working out kinks in any of the new pieces and making sure that, you know, most of them have been worked out. We do. It's almost like putting up goals in hockey or something. We put up little barriers to make sure certain mistakes don't get through. But we actually purposely leave a few questions in the pieces, especially for the younger composers, because that's how they learn. So sometimes the conductors and the performers and older composers will say, hey, look, now that you've heard it that way, is that what you really want? Let's try something else. Or do you want to keep that? So we leave, it's fresh and it's brand new and all of this stuff is cutting edge and interesting. And all the pieces are so different. They're not one style. I mean, they're as dramatically different as you can possibly imagine. Everything from neo-romantic to, you know, almost like minimalist music, to stuff that sounds classical, to stuff that's really like we'd call new complexity. It's really complicated. And you're going to find something you love no matter which concert you go to. There'll be something on there we're hoping that you'll fall in love with.
So I found that fascinating, this idea of if you see a potential issue and you look at it and you think, all right, well, let them work it out. Well, right. Hopefully they'll figure it out.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot of love and care at the festival and a lot of trust between all of us. So we trust, for example, that the ensembles will work out with some of the composers if something's working or something's not working. The composers are all told what the process is, that, you know, you turn in your piece, you work with the ensemble, you'll work together. Almost, it's like, you know, as the saying goes, it takes a village. So it's not that it's just that the composer gives the piece and it's done. There right. might be some changes, you know.
And then the input is offered by you, your mm-hmm. wife, the composer, and conductor, and
yep.
it goes down the line.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody chimes in, whether it's the performers, the conductor, the other composers, the younger composers especially. You know, they'll show us their pieces and we'll give some comments and try to help them. But to be honest, you know, the composers are pretty high level, so the comments we're usually giving are fairly broad. There's not usually, we're not usually dealing with like simple things like wrong notes and stuff like that. It's usually like, well, is that the feel you want there? Or is there a better way of getting that across if you change a few details, you know?
What is the hope for, I assume the answer to this mm-hmm. is it depends, but what ultimately is the hope that the life that much of this work has beyond the festival and when everything wraps up on the 17th?
Well, you know, what we really hope for all these works, and I can certainly say this for myself, is, you know, we don't want these to be farewell premieres, you know. we don't want this to be the first, only, and last performance. We hope these pieces are great enough and beautiful enough that the performers will be excited about them, so then when they leave, they'll play them elsewhere, that the composers will have... All the composers end up with audio recordings that they can put anywhere online they want and use archivally or whatever, and also video. There's a great video system in there, so they'll have multi-camera shoots of their pieces, and they can post, and we'll post those on YouTube so people can check them out later. So what we're hoping is that people love their pieces and the performances by these great ensembles, and that people say, wow, the performances were great, we love the pieces, we want to play those again, or hear them again at least. That's the goal, I think.
In the world of classical music, are there enough, in your opinion, are there mm-hmm. enough incubators, such as yourself, to help foster and create this work in the way that you're doing it?
Well, there's a few, And actually, you have one of the best ones here in town with David Alan Miller. He's got a great one with the Albany Symphony.
Right.
And I actually did something with Dogs of Desire many years ago, so I experienced that with him. And that's wonderful, and you're so lucky to have that in your backyard. There's a few other festivals, and I think I mentioned earlier, you know, Tanglewood and from Boston and Aspen out in Colorado. But you know what? There's really not a lot, especially in this country, and our goal is to become, I'll just be honest and bold, we want to become one of the best festivals in the entire world for this. We're one of the only festivals that offers orchestral readings for this many composers. There's over 30, and at least half of them get orchestral readings. That's more than any other opportunity in the world that I can think of for that. The second thing we offer are performances by professional ensembles, not just student groups or readings. We offer real performances by real ensembles that exist in the outside of the festival. Plus, what we love about being here in Central New York State and around outside of Albany and in Saratoga Springs is that we're, you know, creating an environment where all these people get to be together and to have a warm experience. So, you know, if we did this in New York, they would scatter. They'd go see concerts. They'd go to, you know, shows elsewhere. But at least here, we force them to be together.
Right.
So they have to all have lunch together and dinner. And then it's great because you're walking down the path on the campus at Skidmore College. And this happened to me many times already. Students will come up and say, hey, you know, Dr. Patterson, can I ask you a question? I'm like, sure. And we talk for 15 minutes and we'll just chat about, they have a burning question they've been meaning to ask. And I love that. That's the point, is to get us all together as real people, just having time to actually just talk.
Another general question, but when you send a young composer out into the world and they have this on their resume and perhaps a couple of other feathers in their cap, is it a bright future? I mean, is it a good marketplace for a young composer these days?
I think, you know, there's always this talk of, oh, the classical music world is so hard and this and that.
Right.
You know something? I think if people look carefully, I think it's never been better. I think these young composers are so broad-minded. They've got so much at their fingertips digitally and with new ways of thinking about how to get their music out there, whether it's concert music or commercial stuff. You know, I even tell them, I say, look, you can have multiple careers at once. You can write music for concerts. You can also do, I mean, this is shocking, but you can do video game music or film music. You can have multiple voices or you can have one voice as a composer. You can just be, you can be whatever you want. And I think 50 years ago that was frowned upon. I think now young composers are warming up to that. And also, if you check out their phones or whatever where they have all their music that they're listening to, you'll see, you know, Mozart and Beethoven and new pieces coupled with, you know, I don't even know, Ariana Grande or some pop music person. And they don't even think twice about it. So I think there's a huge love for new music. I think it's, this is, again, maybe a little shocking, but I think now that we've moved past the 12-tone era and now we're decades away from that, and we know because, you know, we're older, right? You remember that era, right?
Yeah.
I think now that we're well past that, I think we're moving into this kind of bright, sunny future where anything's possible and it's okay to write music that audiences love. And these composers, I'm telling you, they're great. They're all doing it. They're all writing music that they're passionate about, not just because they feel like they have to do it.
As far as an audience member now, when it comes to the Mostly Modern Festival, I can see one show, I can see all eight shows.
Yep. All eight shows are open to the public. We even have a discount pass called the Insider Pass that gives you a percentage off to see all the concerts all week, or we have a half pass. You can see half of them one week or the other week. You can pick and choose what you want. It's totally open, whatever you like. Yeah.
It all begins tonight. It is the Mostly Modern Festival. It's a new summer music festival. It takes place June 8th today through the 17th at the Arthur Zankel Music Center on the campus of Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York. If you go to their website, mostlymodernfestival.org, you can see the entire schedule, and it gives you a really good overview of all the details that we talked about this morning. mostlymodernfestival.org. Robert Patterson, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a great festival.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.